At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Right, guys, welcome back to Coaching Conversations with Pete and Yas. But before we get to today's episode, just a quick announcement from our partnership with St. Mary's University Twickenham.
Yeah, so thanks for having me. I'm Ashley, our performance football coaching course lead, as you know, as a member of our alumni. Our course is unique around the world, so we believe that we have a distance learning model that kind of works for everyone, regardless of where they are in the world. They can study football performance coaching from their environment and put it into their context.
Amazing. And who is it for?
So we really have lots of different unique opportunities. So you can be a pro license coach that we've had in the past. You could be a level 2 UEFA B coach. It's about putting it into your context. So we'll expose students to match analysis, contemporary football coaching cultures, and they can put that into their own practice and improve their knowledge and understanding of the game.
Thank you for that, Ash. And as an alumni member of St. Mary's University Twickenham, I'm proud to announce the partnership that we've got going on, where each week myself and Pete will be delivering conversations around different how-to elements, analysis tips, and obviously some insights from our own experiences as coaches and coach developers. So catch that on YouTube and every week on all major platforms where you can hear it in audio form as well. Right, guys, welcome back to Coaching Conversation with Pete and Yas. My name's Yas.
My name's Pete.
And today we'll be looking at the world of talent identification, what it means as a whole. Where do we start? What are our biases and unconscious biases? So, Pete, straight off to you, what is talent ID?
Wow. You're going to have to ask one more. What's talent, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, talent is basically, it depends, I think, on what you're looking for in your team. So, if you're, say, for example, let's have a little story. If you're a team and you're a team that likes to get the ball forward quickly and you've got two small strikers, but you've got one massive striker, and the ball's got to go in to that big striker who heads the ball in for the two little strikers to go in and score goals for you. So what are you going to look for? You're going to look for somebody who can deliver a longer range pass, say, for example. So you're looking at, when you're going out, you're looking for players. Well, actually, you're a defender. Can you pass the ball over a longer distance? So you start looking at those types of things. And you look at the tall centre forward. The tall centre forward, are they actually tall and good in the air? Or they tall and just can hold the ball up. Are your two smaller strikers, are they, say for example, very quick, so they see opportunities? Can they work off of each other? Can they go from in to out? So all those sort of things you're starting to look at, then you've got to look at the players around them. So if the ball doesn't hit the striker or the striker doesn't win the ball, who picks up the ball in the midfield? Or what kind of player are they? So you go on and on. So you then start to build your identification around the way you're currently playing, say, for example, or a type, or even your own preferences. So, say, for example, for me, I like players who are quite clever. And it doesn't matter what position they're in. They've got to be quite clever. They're willing to take risks. They're decent on the ball, i.e. they can receive the ball well, they can distribute the ball well. So those are the things that I look for. But the biggest thing for me is the decision making. I like players who are decision makers and who will also ask questions. Question me.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot in there, but you know, let's start with that last piece. You talked there about you like players who are decision makers. How do we measure that? Because obviously, you know, if I even just go into this piece around talent ID myself, I start to think, well, first I have to know what we're looking for. But I think equally, we also have to know what influences what we're looking for in terms of what are the demands of the observation, if you like. But actually, what are some of the blockers that we might have up as, you know, as people making the observation? So in your perspective, you're saying you like players who are clever. It doesn't matter what that looks like across the pitch, but what does that actually mean? How do we measure whether they're clever or not? How do we measure whether they're good decision makers? How do we measure whether they can ask questions or not? And is it the ability to ask the question, or is it just a, the actual process of asking a question that you're looking for. And how do you then go about observing that?
Well, you see, the thing about it is, I think this is where you get the complexities of coaching come in here. To be able to ask questions, the players have to feel comfortable to ask questions. So you have to have an environment that allows that to happen. So that's really, really key.
Or they don't like you and they've had a bad day.
Well, if they don't like you and they've had a bad day, well, if your environment is good, you'll find that out pretty quickly because you've led to that. You know, yeah, there's been a few of those. But anyway, so you're kind of looking at it from that point. So the other thing as well, how do you measure a player's cleverness? Well, if you think about a game of football, there's a series of things that are happening that none of us can control. Right? And what happens during those moments are, is this the right time to do this thing? So you look at a game, and you're seeing a team that's pressing you really high, say for example, and you decide that you're going to just keep playing out and playing, and you've been robbed of the ball on four separate occasions. At some stage, some player's going to have to say, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to have to go in behind them. Or they've noticed that they're pressing so high that actually we can go in over the top with one ball because one of our players is staying reasonably high and I can get the ball to that player. So now you start to think about, well, has the player recognised that? Yeah. Now, our default is we're going to try and play out, but when is the right time to play out? So again, for me, it's about, you know, when I coach my players, it's not about we're going to play out from the back. Is it the right time to play out from the back? All right. Why do we play out from the back? So my coaching will be all those questions around, well, why would we do this? For what reason? Yada, 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 yada. Not just we're going to be like this. I want us to be able to keep the ball. Yeah, because if we can keep the ball for longer, we can get nearer their goal and we can score. But what does that actually look like? So when I'm looking at my players and what I'm looking at the talent is, do they recognise that? Do they have the ability to be able to play? So a good player for me is a player who recognises, actually, I can't ping the ball 60 yards, but my mate can, all right? So they might give the ball to their mate, but I'm really good at running with it in higher areas of the pitch. So, for me, it's are you open to seeing what talent could look like in all its different guises? So do you remember people used to say, a good big and always beats a good little one? That's a kind of a boxing analogy. But in football now, look at the small players who are having a lot of prevalence. You know? So you kind of got to think, our idea of talent is shifting because the game is shifting.
I think you're spot on, and I think there's so many different directions you're going, but I think the word that just keeps kind of booming off in my head is context.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because fundamentally, what talent might look like at, let's just say, a Premier League club in the first team might be very different to what talent then looks like at, League Two club in the first team, right? Because it's the context of what we're trying to operate within.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I'm looking at it and thinking to myself, okay. And a phrase that I've started using quite a lot recently, just came out my mouth once. I thought, that looks, sounds quite good, actually. And it was, are we observing the game through our eyes or their experience? Okay. And what I meant by that specifically was, when we're deciding whether something was good or negative, or we're having a judgment on something as observers, whether it be from a coaching perspective, a scouting perspective, whatever that might look like, have we understood enough about why that thing happened? So as an example, from a coaching perspective specifically, it might be that actually we didn't agree with the player's decision or we didn't quite understand it. But actually, we also didn't understand that the player was taking this into consideration as this action was happening. Or they missed this piece of information as that decision was being made, which then changes the whole context of what we've just seen, right? So I think it's being careful to identify that what we consider a challenge, what we perceive as a problem, what we perceive as important information within a certain moment isn't just assumed as a one size fits all. In that you put, I don't know, a Premier League centre forward versus that of a centre forward in the League Two, as an example. Put them in the exact same situation. One of them's not even thinking about half the stuff the other one is. Very likely. Just because of the experiences and what they've been stretched and challenged towards. Does that make one right or one less talented or one more talented? Or does it make him talented in different context? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. Yeah, because it is context specific. Because if you're, imagine a scout goes out and they're scouting for a League Two side. They're looking for something completely different to what somebody in the Premier League, who's in the top four in the Premier League, looking for. So of an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old. So you're kind of thinking about what...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, what journey is that child going to go on when that scout picks that player up? So, and quite often you see that children who go into academies earlier on at lower levels get snapped up by the bigger clubs because the smaller clubs actually have to do more coaching because they're trying to drag something out of the player. So when you identify that raw talent to start off with, it's so context specific, and it might be around, say for example, a player who's like 8, 9, 10 years old, who can just run with the ball and dribble and avoid tackles, you know, that sort of stuff. I remember in a game when I was at one of the clubs I was at recently, and we played against a big Cat 1 team, and they had this little kid, tiny, absolutely tiny, and unbelievable on the ball. 9 years old, no, wasn't even nine, I think he was 8. And he could just get the ball and just run past people, you know, dribble and drop a feint. And he was so good, right? The only way the team I was playing against could stop him was kicking him. The only way. And these kids were realizing this at this young age. I think it was our under nines versus their under eights. No, he was in the under eights and was playing up. And the poor little kid got kicked so much, he just started crying. And then at the moment, because he had that kit on, you think, oh my God, this is just a child. This is just a little child, and they're getting kicked because they're so good at football that the other team can't stop them. So we have to think about that when we're identifying that talent, that how do we nurture that talent and look after that talent when we see that kind of thing happening? Now, I'll be honest with you, if I was, you know, I said to the players, you have to be better at stopping that boy. Right, and using...
With legal means.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, but we can't get near it. I said, but that's not the right way to deal with it.
Yeah.
It's, you're going to have to be better at defending.
Play within the rules.
Exactly. So what I then looked at was, well, actually, we need to do some work around defending and how we...
There is that, I think, but as you're speaking, I'm just thinking to myself, yeah, we could do some work around defending, but it's also just understanding that knowing what the outcome is that we're going after in that moment, right? And is it to stop the boy, is it just to delay him? Right? The reason why I say that is because the players that we're working with in that moment, they might just not be able to stop him. And that's okay as well.
Yeah, but that's around, because we talk about talent and context specific. Talent, we have to also understand what talent isn't.
Yeah.
Okay? So if you're talking about context specific and we're talking about Cat 1 Academy playing against Cat 1 Academy, well, when that player, when you're in that Cat 1 Academy, what you have to realise as a coach is, actually, when I bring this kid in, right, he's going to be able to, he's going to have to play against players like that who are going to be at the top of their game at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. So how are we going to, when we're looking at bringing the kid in, right, what bits do we see as talent that's going to help that kid to be able to survive against that kid who can run past everyone? So it's knowing that, you know, I'm a Cat 1 Academy, but I'm a Cat 1, but my first team plays in League 2, right, or League 1. But I'm playing against a cat academy that's in the top half of the Premier League and they're cat one. Well, what their players looking like? Well, they're going to get, as we say, the good players or the better players. But our players ain't rubbish.
No.
They ain't rubbish. They're still in the top 5 or 6% of players in the country, right, at that age group. So what is it we're doing, you know, once we've got that talent, to nurture it and to get it to survive at that level? Mm. Because again, as I said, I don't know if I said it today or in one of the other things, we may not have those kids forever. Because that kid who we got in at 8, by the time they're 10 or 12, they may be at another Cat 1 Academy who are in the Premier League. We don't know that.
And I think it's interesting because one of the things that always comes into my mind when looking at what might be considered effective talent identification, a variable that needs to be considered, I don't know whether it is, and it's often a conversation that I'd like to have with coaches and scouts even, is, are we scouting this player with an understanding of who they're then going to be working with? Is that, I mean, so I'm recruiting this player. Yeah, this player might have X, Y, Z characteristics. But because I know Pete's going to be working with him, I'm comfortable with that. I'm comfortable that Pete can get that player to work. Whereas, actually, this player might have certain characteristics. It's just not going to get along with any of the coaches. You know, I often think about whether that's a consideration of people within talent identification in particular.
Well, I wish I could answer that question. But, I mean, I've heard conversations where a scout's going, that coach, that kid, I know that kid's talented. It's the coach, he ain't no good. I've heard those conversations. Right, so there needs to be probably, unless you're in the rooms, you don't know how people are behaving and so on and so forth. But one of the things you make a really good point there, are the scouts and the coach on the same wavelength? Are they saying, this is what we're looking for, bring this in? I mean, I think a lot of clubs do that. But talent identification doesn't just start with professional game. It also starts at grassroots. Because when we have, because how many grassroots teams have trials? I'm going to have a trial. But what are you looking for in your trial? Big kid gets the ball, boots it, scores. Yeah, let's get that kid in. But what are you going to do with that big kid when they come in? Because the only time that they can score is if they've got enough space around them, because their first touch is terrible.
Well, it's interesting because I think about an experience that last season, I was working with a group of players, and it's one particular player. They were talented, but I think maybe the talent was taken out of context for them and the parents, in the sense that wherever this player had been, they'd regularly scored goals, so therefore they were considered an effective forward player, right? However, my observation and my challenge to that was, well, yeah, you might be scoring a lot of goals, but you're also missing a hell of a lot of chances, right? And you're only getting a lot of goals because you're getting so many chances.
That's right, yeah.
So actually, you know, where this player might be getting, I don't know, 12, 13 chances a game, and they're only scoring 3, I'm saying, well, that's shocking. But on the flip side, they've scored 3, so people are looking at it and saying, that's brilliant. And it's like, well, I get where you're coming from, but you know, if we're talking about really identifying talent, there could be a lack of it there.
That's right. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's just more by, you know, we don't really get that observation or be able to make that assessment or judgment. Not to say that it's a be all and end all one, but we don't really get to have that unless we've got context. And you know, using the example that you just gave as well, Brian, having that big player who can score and just boots it and gets it in the back of the net. But they can only do it when they've got space. Yeah, but what can you do when you don't have space?
Exactly.
What does space actually look like? And the example I always give, well, a yard of, you know, a yard of space to Neymar and a yard of space to Harry Maguire is two different things. What Neymar could do in a yard, Harry Maguire might need 2.5. And that's fine. But it's just understanding what that range might look like and when it might be different for each individual. So I guess, you know, I'm conscious of time, so I'm going to throw this last one at you and just get your views on it. If we're now looking at observation and identifying talent, What are some go-to things for you that you want people to think to, and consider?
First of all, what's your playing style? Okay, that's the first thing, because it's got to be about your playing style. What do you want your players to do during games when things aren't going that well for them? And three is, okay, are you able to observe it? Because if you're not able to observe it, then forget it. Because I think that's that piece there around your observation. If you're saying, right, okay, I used the word clever earlier on, didn't I? But I didn't quantify it, did I?
Mm.
What does clever look like? Well, I don't know until the situation arises.
Mm.
So, but you have to understand that that's what you're looking for. You're looking for the players who can get you out of trouble in those moments.
Well, there you have it, guys. Coaching conversation with Pete and Yas. Today we look at talent identification. Let us know what you thought. Leave us a comment. Please like, share, and subscribe. And until next time, guys, take care.
Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.